one second to just get this started. Is Joshua here? Oh, yeah, okay. Okay. That's okay.
Hope I'm not going to throw you off your game. I forgot to announce that this was found out at the church. It's a key fob. Is anybody missing a key fob? No?
Does your car start?
Okay. I know. Well, anyways, it was found. I'm sorry I forgot to announce that.
That's okay.
Okay, sorry for the
interruption. No. So, that's loud. This is the last law of love in this book we've been going through called The Seven Laws of Love. And just to recap, even though Amy did a great job last week of recapping, just as a quick reminder, we've looked at love requires commitment, love selflessly sacrifices, love speaks truth, love conquers fear, love offers grace, love brings healing, and the title of this final chapter is Love Lives Forever. But first, would you pray with me? Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for your great love and for each woman here in this room today. May your word speak clearly and may it fall on open and fertile hearts, take root and bear fruit for your glory. In the precious name of your Son, Jesus, amen. So love lives forever. What does that really mean? After all, forever is a long time. I remember when my daughter was in middle school, she and her friends would go around saying, oh, you're my BFF, my BFF, my best friend forever. And of course, that lasted about 2 weeks. And we take marriage vows, pledging our love and commitment to one another as long as we both shall live, and that is forever on earth. I've been to a lot of weddings lately, and we often hear the words from 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient, love is kind, love does not envy, does not boast, keeps no records of wrong. And now And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. Yeah, did it work? Okay, thanks. And the greatest of these is love. And the Apostle Paul, writing here to the Corinthians, is not speaking of romantic love, which usually requires something from other person and is based on feelings, but rather he's talking about love that reflects the love of God. And if you remember back to our first session last year on the fruits of the Spirit, the first fruit of the Spirit was love, because love is foundational to all the virtues that follow. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, and so on. And love is also at the core of God's character. God is love. The love of God is unconditional, unfailing, immeasurable, unfathomable. How can we get our minds around a love of this magnitude? I think that God looks at us with unbridled joy and delight, with a face-breaking smile, kind of like this. I mean, I had to work at my grandkids, come on. But God looks at you and me with joy and delight and love that overflows. And we don't just read about God's love in the Bible. He tells us that he is love. He spoke to the prophet Jeremiah saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with loving kindness. I often think of this verse as God's Valentine to us. And he says to Moses on Mount Sinai, love the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. God's love is sacrificial. His love is so great for you and me that he sent his son Jesus, the final Passover lamb, as an atonement to die on the cross and forgive our sin, to pay our debt and reconcile us to God for eternity. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And we've done nothing. This is so hard to conceive of, because we've done nothing to deserve this love. Our salvation is not earned, it's given freely. The ultimate gift given from God's heart of unmerited grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And God loves us so much, he meets us just where we are, in our strengths, but also in our weaknesses, in our faults and our bumps, our warts, our sin. But he loves us so much, he doesn't want to leave us there. He wants to transform us into his likeness, refining and chipping away like a sculptor, using both our triumphs and our trials to reshape us. And he gives us a spiritual heart transplant, speaking through the prophet Ezekiel, foreshadowing the coming and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Oh, wait, I just did something. Hang on. Sorry. There. He says, I will put a new spirit into you. I will take from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. God wants an eternal relationship with us, and because of his great love for us through the cross, Jesus has made eternal love possible. He promises in his word, I will never leave you or forsake you. And he says in Isaiah, see, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. When the Pharisees asked Jesus, of all the commandments, which is the most important, he answered, and this is the key verse on your table, and also the verse that was the foundation for this series, love the Lord your God with all your heart. Oh, I should do those things that Allison taught us. With all your heart and with all your soul, and with all your mind and with all your strength. And I'm adding the word strength because this is from the Gospel of Mark, and he's quoting also from the original verse in Deuteronomy, the Shema, where Moses said, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. So our heart, our soul, our mind, our strength, it's our whole being. It's all of us. And let's not gloss over the word commandment. Jesus isn't floating a nice idea or kind of like suggesting. He is really ordering us to love God with our whole being, to be all in. So how do we love the Lord like this? What does it look like? Because God desires an intimate, personal relationship with each one of us, not just to know about him, but to know him. And when we pray, like we do here, we're having a conversation with God. We're spending time in his presence, pouring out our hearts with lament or thanksgiving, and listening to what he wants to tell us. Just like we do in any relationship, we're trying to get to know somebody better. We praise him in worship. We spend time in his word. And when we do that, we're getting to know his character and what he requires of us. And the more we know him, the more we can put our hand in his and trust him. Because what is faith if it's not trust? God calls us to trust him today, tomorrow, with the now, the not yet, and everything in between. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Well, I don't know about you, but trusting God with my life is one thing. Trusting him with my kids' lives is kind of another thing. And about 9.5 years ago, God challenged me to trust him completely in a way that I never had to trust before. Many of you already know this story, but in April of 2016, my oldest son, Justin, was skiing, and he hit a tree, and it left him paralyzed from the chest down. This was a time when I clung to God, immersing myself in prayer and literally devouring his word. There were so many unknowns, so many uncharted waters ahead. But as soon as we got him settled into rehab at Craig Hospital, beautiful Craig Hospital in Denver, we went out and got a plaque and hung it on his wall. Whoopsie, wait, that's not the right one. Hang on. Yeah. The words from Jeremiah, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. That's him in the hospital with that little turtle shell thing because he just had surgery. And we claim God's promise, choosing to do so on faith, trusting in God's steadfast love for Justin, that he would have a plan and a purpose for his life. And nearly 10 years later, I can truly attest to God's faithfulness. First and foremost, he's drawn Justin closer to his side, deeper into faith and into trust. And because of that trust, Justin has traveled the world in a wheelchair, pushing the boundaries of what's possible. He's tried about every adaptive sport there is. He's competed in bike races, racing chair marathons, paratriathlons, and in fact, he's an elite athlete with Team USA. and just got back last week from the Paratriathlon World Championships in Australia. And in that middle picture, you can see he's looking kind of tired. But more importantly, after his accident, his fiancée at the time walked from the relationship 4 months before the wedding. But God, years later, brought a beautiful woman in his life, beautiful Maria, a nurse. And in May of 2024, they were married in the Rocky Mountains. I might even cry about this, but in an overflow of love. And I'm so glad I can share this with you today, how to get permission. But God has given them the beautiful gift of life. They're expecting a baby boy in April. And yay, God. And not just any April, but the due date is April 10th. And that is one day after Justin's 10-year anniversary of his accident, April 9th, 2016. Only God could arrange something like that. This is answered prayer and a fulfillment of God's promise that we claimed. But trust, I confess, is still hard, and this son of mine really pushes my trust buttons. But I know that God loves him, I know God loves me, and I can show my love back to God by trusting him with Justin's life. And so it follows, if we trust God, we obey him. The Lord says simply and clearly, if you love me, you will obey what I command. Hang on. Which means that we have to loosen those reins of control that we clutch so tightly. Some of you are nodding, thank you, because is it just me? And we had to submit to his lordship and his leading. When we try to get ahead of God or ignore his ways or go in our own direction, how does that go? Well, about 2.5 years ago, 3 of my 4 kids were getting married in 10 months. I tried on a lot of dresses. And I also suggested to my husband that we take dancing lessons. I mean, we like to dance together, and we were really pretty good, but I thought it was time to kind of kick it up a notch and, you know, put a little zip in our step maybe. So we went to this class in Danville called Two Left Feet. Should have been a tip-off. And there, the instructor was in the middle of a circle with his partner, and all the couples were dancing around him and following his instruction. Well, we just weren't cutting it. Like, my husband seemed like he was in another world, and he wasn't getting the rhythm. So I thought I would, you know, help him out, and I'm like, kind of like stomping out the rhythm and tapping on his shoulder like this. And finally, I got so exasperated, I said, "You're a musician. Why are you not getting this?" To which he said, "Randy, I'm a jazz musician. I color outside the lines." So I was just becoming unglued, and I was kind of hissing at him, and the instructor noticed our little spat, so he came over, and I'm thinking in my, you know, proud and smug mind, he's gonna straighten him out, right? But he comes right over, looks me in the eye, and he says, "You're leading too much. You're leading too much." Well, needless to say, we didn't return, and we did fine on the dance floor. But later I thought, isn't that just how it is with God? We try to lead him, the Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, pressing into our will and our agenda rather than his. So our tempo was off, and our feet are faltering. Instead of leading, we need to lean in on our master choreographer, the one who has a plan and a purpose for our life, who will direct our paths, align our footsteps, and lead us in the dance of our lives. Which isn't to say that life will proceed perfectly. Life might still bring missteps. We'll get stuck in those turns, but the rhythm of our souls will be in sync with our Heavenly Father. Love God by knowing him through a personal relationship, trusting him in all things, obeying him, and following his lead. The second greatest commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. Sounds like the golden rule, treat others the way you want to be treated. But at the Last Supper, Jesus said to his disciples, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, you must love one another." God wants us to love each other with the same kind of sacrificial and selfless love that he offers to us, to forgive, to show grace, to prioritize people over projects, to value relationship over being right, to be fully present with one another, and to give our best to those we love and not just our leftovers. Have you ever had somebody show you undeserved, unmerited, just surprising love? Well, when my daughter Molly was in grade school, I was really sick, I was home, and a woman I didn't really even know, a mom from her classroom, showed up at the door in the pouring rain, rang my bell, handed me a huge bag of groceries, and just said, "I heard you were sick." Totally unexpected, but never forgotten. When we were waiting around after Justin's surgery, my phone rang, and it was Lucy, and she just said, "Randy, Rick and I are coming." And those simple words of love, of loyalty, and the promise of a familiar presence at the time was as if God had just reached into that waiting room and put his arms around me. And a few months later, a friend that I didn't know even that well invited me to coffee, and we sat down, and she just said, "Now, tell me everything." And she proceeded to listen completely uninterrupted, completely undistracted, and let me recount as a gift the arc of this life-changing narrative from the beginning to the present day. It was so healing. And these examples may not seem like a big deal, but I can tell you they were such a big deal at that moment, and they were such what I needed. Thank you, God. So we can be loved to each other with our time, with our words, and even in our silence. And when we serve the vulnerable, the marginalized, the disadvantaged with love and charity, Jesus tells us it's an act of loving him. He says in Matthew, "I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these my brothers, you did for me." And when I look around the room, I see many of you who are serving in this way, and like we are doing with Kids Alive. So God calls us to treat others the way he loves us and treats us, but we are human. We're not necessarily wired that way. Our flesh is strong, our egos cry out, and our will and our desires more often than not dictate our actions. We cannot live the kind of love that God wants us to give to the world without him. No matter how hard we try, it is not sustainable without the power of the Holy Spirit. We too easily run out of fuel, we run dry, but the more we open ourselves up to God's love, to God's Spirit, and let it fill us and pour into us, the more God will pour out of us. Back at that ICU, we were grieving, but I can tell you, I was so rooted in God's word. We were all praying without ceasing. We were praying over Justin, obviously, but we were praying with the nurses, the doctors, and then we started to go in other people's rooms. How outlandish, but we just couldn't help it. We were going into these other rooms and praying for people. It's not my natural state, because it's not. It's supernatural. It's God pouring in so we can pour out. As I have loved you, love one another. So let's just be honest. There's a lot of things to love as well, right? But we can make an idol out of our things, our homes, our cars, our clothes, our reputation, our achievements. We can put too much stock in trophies, either the real kind that you can put on your shelf, or figuratively, which is anything that we believe affirms or heightens our self-worth. But these things are ephemeral, they do not last. And as the author of our book says, and I love this, he said, "Trophies can't love you back." Well, as I was sort of thinking through this talk, I was sitting in my backyard and looking back at the house where we had just completed a bathroom remodel. Actually, Bridget's looking. We're not complete yet. You're never complete. But we had put so much work into it, so much focus, so many decisions to make that really it had become an idol. So there I was looking at this nice big window that's looking out on the backyard and how redone all the siding, and I was being very admiring of it. And all of a sudden, God just interrupted my reverie with the words, "The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever." And I thought, you're right, Lord, one good earthquake, and we just all be gone. What the spiritual refining of the Holy Spirit in our lives is doing is showing us what matters, what has eternal value, what has eternal consequences, what is the real trophy to pursue, that pearl at great price. The enduring treasures of our lives are our relationships, not our things, not our bank account, our popularity, or profession, our relationships with God, which feeds our relationship with others. Love God. Love others. Proverbs 90:12 says, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. This is the call to be intentional in our everyday living, to focus now on what really matters and not waste the time we have, to live life with an eternal perspective. What do you want your legacy to be? Our love and how we share it with others is the only part of our legacy that will live into eternity. I think of my grandmother who died when I was 21. She lived next door and she was widowed at a very young age, and yet she was always cheerful and loving. She was a very strong and outspoken Christian who witnessed to my whole family, and one by one she brought each of us to the Lord, whether in her lifetime or as a result of her influence. And one day when I see her in heaven, I will thank her. We don't know the end of our story here on earth, but God, the author and perfecter of our faith, does. Jesus conquered death. He died and rose again. The promise of the resurrection, that this life is not all there is, alters the way we live and the way we love. Jesus' resurrection makes it possible for all of us who put our faith in him to live and to love in eternity with him forever. Let's pray. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, would have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you will be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. That's Ephesians 3:17-19. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Randy. We always love when you share, sharing from your heart and sharing God's word to us. So thank you so much. I'm going to let Randy's prayer be our closing prayer. So please don't forget to clean up your stuff around the table. Bring your stuff for the DR next week and enjoy your time at your table. Thank you. See you next week, guys.